Good morning. Okay, I start again. Good morning. Last time, as I said, I spoke from the book of Ruth. But this morning, as we enter the week where we remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior, I would like for us to turn our attention to the book of Luke, chapter 2. So that's Luke, chapter 2. This is in the Gospels. Now, this is a time of the year, it's actually sometimes an annoying time of the year, when we are bombarded with songs pertaining to the season in shops, on the radio, and everywhere we go. In fact, I remember standing at a till and pay till, and it was a Poundland. I was so annoyed because this thing would not talk to me properly. It was talking in all this ho ho ho. And, yeah, you know that one. So I was like, can they just not have us a normal till? But this is that time of the year. And you know that very few of these songs actually talk about why we celebrate Christmas or why we remember remember him at this time. In fact, do you know what is the number one Christmas single this year? It is We Love Sausage Rolls. So, but when we come to the book of Luke, we have four songs that so magnificently present the truth of this wonderful message of the greatest event in human history, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the incarnation. Now, the first song is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. This happens when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, you know the story. Elizabeth has been barren for many years, and now she's expecting a child. But Mary has good news of her own. She is to give birth to the Son of God. And we read that as Mary shares her news to Elizabeth, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaps on hearing the news. And we see that Elizabeth blesses Mary, and Mary breaks out into song. And this song is often called the Magnificat. And it is a song where Mary is thanking God for the privilege of giving birth to the Son of God. And she's talking about how God has been faithful to his promises to Abraham. Now, the second song we see is in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. And it is often called the Benedictus. And this is a song of thanksgiving that Zechariah sang. You know, we know his story. We know he was unable to speak because he did not believe when the angel came to him and said, "You are going to have a son in your old age, and you are to call him John." And because he did not believe, he was unable to speak. So we see that as soon as he was able to speak, he cannot stop praising God. And we see his song in this portion of scripture where he alludes to the Old Testament. He also talks about God's promise to Abraham. And he talks about how his son John will be a forerunner to the Messiah. Now, the third song, or called the Angel Song, or Gloria Excelsis Deo, is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 14. And this is a song where the angels sing to the shepherds. They sing about glory to God in the highest and peace on earth amongst all those who find favor with God. It's sung to the shepherds who, in those times, were considered outcasts because they were almost ritually unclean. And the angels sing to them. But this morning, the song I want to look at is a final song in the book of Luke, which you will find in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. And this is a song sung by Simeon. It's called the Nunc Dimittis in Latin. And this is a song that he sings as he is presented with the baby Jesus by Mary and Joseph, who have come to the temple in order to complete the purification rites. I would like to read from chapter 2, verses 22 to 36. That's Luke chapter 2, 22 to 26. Actually, I'll start reading from 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was watching for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So this song of Simeon, unlike the other songs that I spoke about, was sung at a time much after Jesus' birth. And the reason I say this is, we know that there were certain ceremonies that had to be completed after the birth of a child. First of all, as we read, Jesus would have to be circumcised at 8 days. And this is the day that he would have been formally given his name, Jesus. And then we see that according to Exodus 13:2, every first male child was considered holy to the Lord, and so he would have to be presented at the temple. Also, if you remember from the plagues, because of the last plague, the Israelite firstborn male child was redeemed by the Lord, they were expected to pay 5 shekels to the temple as a redemption prize for their firstborn male child. And we see this in Numbers 18:16. And many times, this second ceremony or the presentation at the temple used to coincide with the third ceremony, which would have been the purification of Mary. Because Mary had given birth to her son, she would have been considered unclean for 7 days, and she would have been unable to come to the temple for 33 days. Therefore, by the time Jesus was presented at the temple, he was most likely around 6 weeks old. And Mary and Joseph, when they came to the temple, they were required by the law to offer a lamb as a burnt offering and a turtle as a sin offering. But because they were very poor, the law allowed them to present 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves instead, because they would not have been able to afford a lamb. And this is the point where Simeon meets them at the temple, where they have come to present Jesus at the temple and for Mary's purification rites, where they would sacrifice a lamb, 2 turtle doves. I have a small clip to show this to you, if it works.
Now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentile, and the glory of thy people Israel. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Yea, a sword will pierce to thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Now, the Bible tells us very little about Simeon. We know much about the type of man he was, but about his background. We know he lived in Jerusalem, and tradition tells us that he was an old man, but the Bible doesn't record that. What we do know is that there's great debate among scholars and commentators, who some say he was a priest, some say he was a Levite, some say that he was neither of these, and he was just a very devout man who came to the temple often. But the Bible records five things about the type of man that Simeon was. And I just want to briefly look at that. We've just read it in the passage. Firstly, the Bible tells us that Simeon was a righteous man. He was not just a man who was outwardly righteous. He was a man who was inwardly righteous. It then tells us that he was a devout man. Simeon was a man who wanted to keep the requirements of the law. He kept them from his heart and from his mind. But he was also a regular temple goer. Thirdly, we read that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, Simeon was a man who was living in expectancy. He lived knowing the word of God and believing the word of God that the promised Messiah would come. We see that this waiting for the Messiah defined his life. Fourthly, we see that the Holy Spirit was upon him. We see that Simeon was a man who was in tune with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the passage tells us that it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit that led him to the temple that day when Mary and Joseph would be presenting the Messiah, the six-week-year-old baby, at the temple. And finally, we read that God had revealed to him that he would not die, or that he would live until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So this is Simeon, a devout, righteous man. His life has been engaged in this waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah to come. He's a man who has been studying the scriptures about all the signs of the coming of the Messiah. His heart's yearning is, when will he come? And he knows the promise of God that you will not die till you see the Messiah. So can you imagine this day? When he is at the temple, I've been trying to imagine it. And this yearning of his heart to see the Messiah. And this day, there is this baby in his arms. And this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. Think of it, all the yearnings of his heart, all that deep study of the God, of the word of God, of the prophets, has culminated in this day. And this is why Simeon sings this song, because it's a song that expresses all that he desired, all that he studied, all that he hoped for, as he trusted in God's promise that he would see the Messiah. And this is why this song is so deep in spiritual insight. Because it is not spiritual insight that just came. It is spiritual insight that was a culmination of a lifelong study of the prophets and a deep-rooted righteousness that testifies how closely he walked with God. And this is why, while the Pharisees studied the word, the law and the prophets, they missed the signs of the Messiah. But Simeon, he has a baby in front of him, and he recognizes it. Recognizes that this baby is the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit shows him the destiny or the future of this child, that who this child would be, what this child would do. And this is a testament to Simeon's yearning and how attuned he was to the Holy Spirit. So this week, as we enter into a week where we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, or Christmas as the world or we call it, what can we learn from Simeon's song? Or what? How can we understand the birth of Christ and what it means better in the light of Christmas, of Simeon's song? Firstly, from the passage that we just read, this is what Simeon starts his song with. He says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." Or in some versions, "Let your servant depart in peace." Or simply, "Let your servant die now in peace." Firstly, the birth of Christ in the light of Simeon's song reminds us that Christ's birth and his death defines our living and our dying. Verse 29, as we just read, he said, "Dismiss your servant in peace." Simeon is ready to die and he is at peace because he has seen the future hope of Israel and the world. Simeon's song is a reminder that our celebration of Christ's birth is not just about family or joy or togetherness, which is all lovely, please. It's great. Instead, it is a reminder that not only is Christ the reason for the season, he is the only reason for living. And believe me, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, I can even face death. See, Simeon was ready to die because he had seen all that he lived for, the Messiah's coming. And it is because of the Messiah's coming that you and I, who have been drafted into the family of God, can ask that question, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, you may be ready to graduate. You may be ready to retire. You may be ready to get married. You may be ready to do many things. But hear this, you are not ready to die if you have not met the Messiah. And if there's any one of you who has not met the Messiah, let me tell you this, when you meet the Messiah, even death is fearless. You can stand before death fearlessly. You know, you can be fearless in the face of death. You know, we have everyday fears. We have good fears, which stop us doing silly things, like, you know, walking in front of a bus or other things. And fear is not always bad. It restrains us from doing things we shouldn't do. But as we live life, every day now and then, something comes up and we feel the fear build up. A few days ago, I was speaking to my brother, and I don't know if you know the situation in India with we have rioting and demonstrations, and I could see my brother was in a video call, and I could see he was very shaken. And as I spoke to him, I said, "Are you okay?" He said, I'm okay. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I've just been to the city and I left, and half an hour later, six people were shot dead in the place that I was. They were shot dead by police." And I could see he was shaken. And immediately, I felt the fear build up for my family. And I could feel it. And it felt like a lead jacket that I was wearing. But you know what the good news is? There are days we feel like that. There are days we hear news or things happen and things that we feel like that. But the good news is, the answer to fear is not in us. The answer to fear is in him. And we can trust him. He is the source for courage and strength as we stand in the midst of fear that life throws at us. And we can face anything. Hear me. You can face anything, not because you have it in you, but because of who he is. And we can depend on his strength and his courage to face fear, even the fear of death. I want to say this, we can stand fearless in the face of anything, including death, because of who we have chosen to trust, whose hand, who holds our hand. You know, I was reading an illustration. It was a story, actually. In fact, it's a great story to read about. It's a story of a young couple who are missionaries with the China Inland Mission. And they went to China in the 1930s. And on December 8, 1938, they were both martyred for the gospel. Their three-month-old baby was hidden in a sleeping bag, and she was rescued, and she was the only one who survived. But as they went through John and Betty Stamm's belongings, they found a poem. And I just want to read a bit of it. It's a longer poem. You can go to the internet, and you can read it. And this is what it said. Afraid of what? To feel the Spirit's glad release, to pass from pain to perfect peace, the strife and strain of life to cease. Afraid of that? Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Savior's face, to hear his welcome and to trace the glory gleaned from wounds of grace. Afraid of that? And this is our destiny. We will be unafraid. We are fearless in the face of death because my Savior, my God, has conquered death. And this is what Simeon says. He has seen the Messiah, and he says, Lord, let me now depart in peace. And you and I too, because we have seen the Messiah, because we have become his children, we have chosen to follow the Good Shepherd, we too can stand in the face of death in absolute fearless peace, because we are his. And as Simeon said, we have seen the Messiah. So death, do your worst. Your worst, because I walk with him. The second thing that we see from this passage, this in the light of Simeon's song, is that Christmas is a reminder that God is faithful to his promises. You see, Simeon, like Anna the prophetess, was one of the many persons who looked eagerly for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation in many newer versions appears with a capital C, because this consolation is the Messiah who Simeon was looking forward to come and rescue his people. You know, not only did Simeon know the promises of God about a coming Messiah, but he lived eagerly waiting the fulfillment of God's promises. And as Simeon took that baby in his arms, he addresses God, and this is what he says. Sovereign Lord, who is faithful to his promises. The birth of Christ is a reminder that God's word will come to pass. He determines the beginning from the end. God kept his promise to Simeon to live to see the Messiah. And he kept his promise to Israel and to the Gentiles by sending his Messiah. Since Simeon lived with expectancy, and he's filled with praise as he sees the promised fulfillment, the first coming of Jesus Christ. You know, we too have heard some promises, the promise of Christ's return. Do we live our lives with the expectancy of his second coming? You know, the sovereign Lord who kept his promises to Simeon. This is what Simeon says. He says, sovereign Lord, you have been faithful to your promises. This is the same Lord who will return on the clouds. Do we live acknowledging this? Do we live acknowledging this? I pray that I would live with the same expectancy of Simeon and Anna, that he is coming, that my eyes are focused on this event, that he promised he will come, and he will come. You know, the church, we would be a very different church. We would be very different individuals if our lives were defined by this longing for the fulfillment of the promise of his second coming, that he will return. We then thirdly see that the birth of Jesus Christ is a reminder, truth is seen in the light of Simeon's song, is a reminder that salvation that Christ brings is available to everyone. We just read Psalms 98, 2 to Psalms 98. I just want to read Psalms 98, verses 2 to 3 again. So that's Psalms. Okay. So this is Psalms 98, verses 2 and 3. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And this is the same theme, or this is the same idea that Simeon repeats. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So Simeon says two things, that this salvation that Jesus brings, that this baby will bring, is a light to the Gentiles and a glory to the people of Israel. He acknowledges two things, that this salvation has been prepared by God, and secondly, that this salvation is available for everyone, every ethnic group, every tribe, every language. If we celebrate the birth of Jesus with such joy, can you imagine that joy in heaven when every tribe, every tongue, every ethnicity will bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and praise him? And Simeon sees this prophetically, that this salvation is available to the ends of the earth. It is available no matter how far you have walked away from the Lord or for how far you seem. A few weeks ago, I received a phone call from someone I love dearly. And this person said to me, "Do you think God would forgive me? Do you think I can come to him? Do you think?" This person spoke with so much remorse of wasted opportunities, of things that this person carried. And you know what I could say? I could say, "Of course, yes. Because the Bible promises me and assures me that when we repent and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. We were Gentiles. We have been grafted into God's family, and we can come to him no matter what yesterday looked like. Yes, tomorrow would have to be different. And I could say yes to this person because I too could say, "I have been forgiven much. And if he has forgiven me much, oh yes, you can come to him." And that is the message of Christmas. That anyone, anywhere can come to him. And he waits for them as a good shepherd. This morning, this salvation that Simeon sings about is available to you no matter what yesterday looked like. He can give you a clean slate, and he can set you on the path of righteousness as you keep your eyes on Jesus. It is free, and he calls you as you are. And yet, this salvation, which is available to all who receive it, as I said, it's free, and you can come as you are, but it is not a cheap giveaway. We see this in the end of the song when Simeon turns to bless Mary and Joseph, and he says these words in verses 34 to 35. He says this, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we've spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." You know, the gospel is glorious. It is wonderful. There is nothing in the world that compares to the gospel. I come from a country of many, many religions, which is half of our problem. But nothing compares to the wondrous message of the gospel. But we must never forget that this gospel is also a costly one. See, Simeon's blessing is a prophetic one. He says the birth of the Messiah and the salvation he offers will come at a cost to himself and to Mary, his mother, for whom it will seem like a sword or an arrow has pierced her soul when she sees her Bethlehem babe crucified on the cross. But it will also come at a cost to those who reject his offer. And yes, there is a cost involved in following Christ. You know, human history is in search for saviors. Everyone has a sense the world is not right. And we want someone to fix it, whether in the midst of Brexit, Extinction Rebellion, Me Too, and Trump. The reality is, the truth is this, the only person who can fix the world is Jesus. Only he can fix the world. And that Jesus stepped into human history as a man. And he endured the excruciating agony of the cross. But he endured far greater the pain of his alienation from the Father with whom that in the Trinity where they lived in perfect harmony, the alienation of the Father where the Father turned his back to him, and the horror of the sins of the world. You know, if you looked at your sins, you know the horror you feel? Can you imagine the horror of the sins of the world upon the perfect Lamb of God? This was the cost that Jesus paid. And the world today wants to think of him as just a baby in the manger. But Simeon prophesied this. The birth of Jesus is a historical event that divides and separates. It was to be the cause of the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And it will be a sign that will be spoken against. You know, in Luke chapter 20:17, we read about the stone that was rejected by the builders that became the cornerstone. And it says that those who fall on it will be broken to pieces. And if it falls on them, someone, it will be crushed. When we reject Christ, there is a cost to pay. But if we build our lives on that rock, no matter what the storms of life may be, we will be able to stand firm. But building our lives on this rock comes with a cost. It is the cost of picking up my cross daily and following him. You know, our celebration of Christmas means nothing if the cross is not at the center of our celebration. Peace and goodwill came at a cross. The perfect sacrifice of Jesus, the death of the sinless Son of God. Christmas is not just a celebration of the birth of a baby. It is a celebration of a birth of a baby who came to die and rose again. A Christmas would mean nothing if this baby had not died and rose again. May we not forget that in our celebration. The cross is at the center of our celebration of the birth of Christ. And now, as Simeon holds a 6-week-old baby in his hands, this is what he says. He sees. He sees the fulfillment of God's promised salvation. A child born to die and rise up from the grave. So that you and I may live. And having seen this, Simeon is ready to depart because he says, I'm ready to die. Why? Because the Messiah who conquered it all, sin, pain, sickness, despair, and everything else you want to name, he conquered it all, even death. That Messiah has come. And this 25th, when we celebrate Christmas, this is what we celebrate. The Messiah who died and rose again and who conquered death, because of whom I can stand fearlessly in the face of death, has come. Because of whom I know that God's fair promises are amen, yes and amen, has come. Because of whom I know that me, a Gentile, who had no claim to the child to be a child of God, has come into his family. This is our message this Christmas. This is the song of Simeon. And I want to read that last portion and end with it again. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your